Chapter 67. It was a 7-on-7 drill, something that was done for the linemen to improve the crispness of their timing and to learn to move like a unit. Ron was running the drill with Artie Harris, but he felt the holes were opening too slowly. Finally, he handed the center the ball. On my count, snap it back to me. The players looked confused. Artie looked confused. I'm going to run through the holes. Don't tackle me, said Ron. He stood in a shotgun position that would roughly mimic how far behind the line the running back would be. He would wait a beat to simulate the handoff, and then he would run through the hole. He felt the rush of adrenaline run through him as he ran and planted and cut up into the hole. The play got crisper. He did it again and again. Bodies were flying around him. He loved it. He'd forgotten what it felt like. He had been sure that he would never feel it again. When the drill ended, the coaches gave the team a water break. Artie came over and said out of the side of his mouth, "You're fucking crazy." Ron nodded and grinned. "So they tell me. Goddamn craziest animal English teacher I ever met." Ron laughed and felt his chest swell. In the coach's room, Artie said to Paul Palmentieri, gesturing to Ron, "This maniac was taking the ball up through the holes in a 7-on-7. Paul looked at Ron in disbelief. "What for?" "I think that it improves our timing," said Ron. "I can't afford to have you getting hurt," said Steve Ferry. Ron nodded. He had felt unstoppable, but maybe they were right. He couldn't afford him getting hurt either. Ron showered and changed into his street clothes and walked down to the teacher's room where he'd left his book bag. Larry Viola was there, and he was working on some cloth with a piece of scissors. "Hi, Larry." "Hey, Ron. What do you think?" Larry draped what Ron now saw was a sheet over his head. He had cut holes into the eyes. "What's that for?" Larry beamed excitedly. "I convinced Brother Howard to let me try my pregame rally idea. This is going to be for when we play Eastside." Ron's eyes got larger. "What do you mean?" "They're known as the Ghosts, so when the bus pulls up, I'm going to be there with a group that I get together to help me, and we'll be wearing these."
"You can't do that,"
hollered Ron. "Brother said I could try it out. I have his permission."
"Larry, do something else."
"Why?"
"Patterson Eastside is basically an all-black and Hispanic school."
"So?
Are you fucking crazy?
They are going to come to an all-white suburban school and be met by a group of people with sheets over their heads."
"They won't take it that way."
"They sure the fuck will, and they'll never get off the bus, and they'll go to the newspapers, and you will be so screwed that you won't even know what hit you."
"Well, I'm going to do it. It's all in good fun. They're the Ghosts.
And you're a moron."
"Fuck you. I don't need your approval."
Ron was in a quandary. When he had gone to Brother O'Malley before, the results had been brutal. If he went to Brother Howard about this, Larry Viola could be in serious trouble. Why were these things finding him? He just wanted to change and go to see Celeste and Angel. But now he was stuck with this mess. Larry couldn't be that naive to think that he could do something like that. Could he? He was a history teacher, for Christ's sake.
Ron saw Brother Howard walking back to his office, puffing his after-dinner cigar. He sighed, put the book bag down. Damn, that thing was heavy.
"Brother, can I have a moment?"
Brother Howard smiled and said, "Sure, Ron. Come on in."
Ron sat and Brother Howard turned the lights on and slid down in back of his desk. "How was practice?"
"We're getting better."
"Are your classes going well?"
"Yes, Brother, I'm enjoying them."
Brother Howard looked perplexed.
Classes were going well. Practice had been good. He hoped that Ron wasn't going to need time off or worse still, have found a new job and need to leave them. "How can I help you, Mr. Tuck?"
"Brother, I know about the pep rallies that you gave Larry Fiola permission to organize."
"All right." He puffed his cigar and scraped the ash into the ashtray. This wasn't going to be some foolish thing about coaches being above all of this, was it?
No, Tuck didn't seem like the type.
"Brother, he's planning to have kids wear sheets over their heads when we play Eastside."
Brother Howard's laugh was more like a guffaw.
"You're joking, right?"
"I wish that I was. He's in the faculty room now, cutting eye holes into sheets."
Howard guffawed again.
"Well, he can't do that."
"I tried to tell him, brother, but I honestly don't think he believes that it's a problem."
"Why don't you just go on home now, and I'll casually wander in to see what's going on. We'll keep this conversation to ourselves."
Ron felt relief.
"Thank you, brother." It was about 8 o'clock in the evening when Celeste carried Angel straight from her bath down into the basement. She still wore a diaper at night, and she was wearing a lilac nightgown. She crawled into his arms with her brown eyes filled with wonder and wrapped her very small and fragile arms around his neck. Celeste slid in next to him and entwined her feet with Ron's feet. A surge of the need to provide and protect rushed through Ron's body with one of the most delightful jolts that he'd ever felt. Angel purred like a cat and put her small hands up against each of his ears and leaned in to kiss him. Ron felt his spirit soar. She was magical at this moment. Celeste watched the love affair with a warm and heartfelt smile. She wished with everything that she had inside of her that this had been his baby and would be his child. Angel nestled between them and wiggled her body from one to the other and then drifted off to a contented sleep. Celeste and Ron gazed into each other's eyes and smiled.